I want to ask for your prayers today. I want to try to bring before you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart today. And I want to ask you to pray. I want to ask you to continue to pray for the lost. Pray for the service this morning. I just pray that we'll see people saved today. I want to read a short lesson from 1 Timothy chapter 2 and read just about the first six verses. 1 Timothy chapter 2, the first six verses for a scripture reading. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And as I said, that's my scripture text today from 1 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 6. I want to speak today about salvation. And there are a lot of things, if some preacher is preaching about salvation, there are a lot of things that can be said about salvation. We could preach a sermon about the plan of salvation being through the Lord Jesus Christ and Him being the only way to be saved. We could preach a sermon about the conditions of salvation. We've heard about them in the revival so far, that God requires repentance and faith. Those are the conditions of people being saved. We could hear a sermon about the fact that salvation does not come by works, but it's by grace that we're saved. And there's a lot of things that can be said concerning the great subject of the salvation of souls. But what the Lord has placed upon my heart today and what I want to share with you today is something that the Apostle Paul spoke about in this writing to the young preacher Timothy, and that is that God wants to save. And that's going to be my title today, God Wants to Save. And we find in the fourth verse that I read, let's look at the third and fourth verse again. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have who? Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And today, as I stand before you and try by the help of God to begin to try to bring this message, I want to give God thanks today that He wants to save. Because if it was not God's desire to save anybody, then nobody would be saved. That's a very important. What is crouched, the words crouched within that verse is very important to us, that God will have people to be saved. He wants to save everybody. He don't want to save a few people. He wants everybody to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I think about how that man had become so corrupt and so wicked as we read about them in the days of Noah before the time of the flood, how that man had become so desperately evil that every imagination of the thoughts of their heart, the Bible tells us, were only evil continually. Apparently, that was all that they thought about, was evil things, and they were, very guilty of of sin and sinful acts, and God looked down upon them, and that did not please him at all. And I hope that this world today realizes, because it seems like the world that we live in a lot of ways, has just gone mad, and they're just really chasing after sin. And I hope that people today, just as it was with the people in the days of Noah, I hope they realize that God today still despises sin as much as he ever has. I'm thankful that God loves sinners, because we'd all be in trouble if that were not the case. But God does not like sin. He hates sin. He despises sin. And God will and does judge sin. And so I think about what the Bible says about how that man had become so sinful, and God looked down up on them, and he saw that every imagination of the thoughts of their hearts were only evil continually. And God determined that he would destroy man that he had created from the face of the earth. But we realize, and we read in the scriptures, that when God passed that judgment upon them, when God made that determination, when he said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man," when he determined that because of their wicked ways, he was going to destroy them from the face of the earth, we read that he did not do that immediately. He could have done that very day. That very day that God said, I can see that they have just become so corrupt that all they think about is sin, all that's on their minds are evil things. God could have just lifted up his hand, and he could have sent a flood, and he could have destroyed them that very day. I want to call your remembrance to something that Brother Buddy said in his good sermon here Friday night. He spoke about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he pointed out two things to us that are very true. First, he said, the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, and he is coming back. That is a fact. That is imminent, and it's going to happen. But Brother Buddy said the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back, but he hasn't come back yet. And why is that? Why is it that he has not come back yet? And I believe that the Apostle Peter, in his writings, I believe that he answered that question for us. In 2 Peter chapter 3, the Apostle Peter was writing to the people there about the fact that the Lord was going to come. And he said he wanted to stir up their pure minds by way of remembrance. He wanted to stir up their pure minds by putting them in remembrance of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ was going to return. And he spoke about how that in the last days there were going to be scoffers walking after their own lust, and they were going to be saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were, even unto this day." Listen, there have been people for years and years and years that have scoffed at that. There have been scoffers. There were in the days of Peter. There are now. There were scoffers in the days of Noah when the ark was being prepared. And the Apostle Peter said there would be scoffers. And we, here today, I know that many of us have heard people in our lifetime, they'll say, "Well, I've heard people talking about that all of my life. I've heard people talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming back, and he hasn't come back. Where is he?" Well, listen, we don't know when it's going to happen, but I tell you, the Lord Jesus is coming back. And the Apostle Peter, in that third chapter of 2 Peter, he said, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise." Now listen, the Lord, I realize that God is not slack concerning any of his promises. God will keep every promise that he made. But in that verse, the Apostle Peter was saying that the Lord is not slack concerning the promise of his coming. He has promised that he would come again, and he is going to keep that promise, and he's going to come again. And the reason that he has not done that is because of what we also find in that third chapter of 2 Peter, and that is because God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so God, listen, lost friend, the fact that you are here today, the fact that the world remains today, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ has not yet returned is a testimony to the fact that God wants to save, that God is extending His mercy and He's extending time and He's extending opportunity to people in order for you to have that opportunity to seek the Lord for the salvation of your soul. Now, you know, we don't know how long that God is going to do that. We don't know how long that God is going to keep those doors of mercy open. We can go back and we can read in the Old Testament. We can read in the book of Genesis when God determined that He was going to destroy man that He had created from the face of the earth. And He said, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." At that time, God did give a time frame. He said His days would be 120 years. And I say to you today that the fact that God, when He saw the wickedness of man and determined their destruction, I believe that the fact that He did not destroy them that very day, again, was a testimony that God wanted them to be saved. He gave a space of 120 years. He gave Noah building the ark there in front of them. That was certainly a testimony. That ark was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there was, as Brother Buddy, I believe, also mentioned, the Bible says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And so no doubt he was proclaiming to them that God had said that He was going to send a flood. And I realize that no doubt that was difficult for those people to grasp that with their mind because they had not yet seen rain. At that time, the earth was watered by a mist that came up from the earth, and they had not seen rain, and so they were being warned of something that they had not yet seen. And I know that in the minds of people today, it might be hard to imagine in our carnal minds. In fact, I'm sure that it is hard to imagine for somebody in their carnal mind that the Lord Jesus Christ will come one day and that He'll split the sky, that the heavens will depart as a scroll being rolled together, that the sun will become black as sackcloth of hair, that the stars will fall from heaven as a fig tree casting off her untimely figs, that the moon will no longer give her light, that all the elements will be disrupted. You know, the Apostle Peter said in his writing concerning the coming of Christ, he said, "The elements shall melt with a fervent heat." And I know that, as I said, in the carnal mind, the sinful mind of man, those things are hard to imagine. But listen, those people in the days of Noah, when the time was finished, God sent the flood. He sent the flood. And they were destroyed from the face of the earth. There were eight people that went into the ark, and God shut the door. And they were the only ones that escaped. But God extended to them the opportunity. God extended time to them because God wants to save. Brother Lovell has been saying this week in both nights that he has preached, he has been saying that, you know, you're going to hear in this revival meeting that you're going to hear about hell. And I certainly agree with that, and I believe that's a given. You know, I can't imagine going through a revival meeting and it not being preached. I can't imagine going through a revival meeting and sinners not being told about that and not hearing about the fact that there is a hell of destruction that awaits those that fail to get right with God. Well, there's something today that I want to say about that place. There's something I want to tell you today about hell, and that is that it is not the desire of God for any of you to go there. The Bible tells us in the 25th chapter of Matthew that God made that place, prepared that place for the devil and his angels. Listen, there's no redemption for a fallen angel. They cannot partake of the plan of salvation. Did you know that? An angel cannot be born again. An angel cannot be redeemed. When they fall, they fall. They're reserved in chains and darkness. They are, being punished. And there's no redemption. God did not make a plan of salvation for angels. God did not make a plan of salvation for animals. He only made a plan of salvation for the human family. That's it. He prepared hell for the devil and his angels and all those that reject the Lord. All those that fail to get saved will go to hell and they will spend an eternity there. Listen, a lost friend, don't ever let anybody persuade you otherwise. If you don't get saved by God's grace while you have life and breath in this body, you're going to spend an eternity in the regions of hell in eternal destruction and damnation, apart and separate from the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God for all eternity. But that is not God's desire. His desire is for you to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I thought about it the other night. I believe I mentioned something about it. I thought about when we saw people here kneeling and praying, and we can't look at their heart. We can only do what God said man can do. We can only see the countenance of people. We can see people weeping and we can hear people praying, but we can't look at people's hearts. And no, I can't tell you today what's in your heart. Only God knows your heart. Only God can look in there and see your heart. And I can't answer all of the questions that anybody might have. You know, we may say, what's keeping them from being saved? Well, you know, all I can say is they have not yet repented of their sins and placed their trust in the Lord, or else they'd be saved. But I can tell you this. I can tell you this. I know this without any doubt, that God wants to save every one of them. He wants to save every one of them. I'm so thankful. I thought about that when I studied that scripture. I'm so thankful that God wants to save. You know, if we go back, as we so often do in our preaching, if we go back to the Garden of Eden and we study about the creation of man, and we read about how that God created him in a holy state. When God created man, there wasn't anything wrong with him. When God created man, he was perfect. I'm telling you, God didn't create anything with sin in it. Everything he created was good. Everything that he created was perfect. And he gave man a law to keep. And he gave to him one law to keep. He was told that of the trees of the garden he could freely eat, but of that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he was not to eat of that. He said, in the day you eat of that, you shall surely die. And man transgressed that one law of God. And because of that, the penalty for the transgression was brought upon mankind. And we are going to face physical death because of that. Everybody that's ever lived in the world up to this point, many have already gone the way of all the earth, and we're going to go the way of all the earth because of that. It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment, and we're going to pay that penalty for sin, all of us. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But aren't you thankful that when man sinned, aren't you glad that when man transgressed the law of God, when man just trampled the goodness of God under his feet, that God, by his love, still wanted to save them? God is seeking. I want you to know something, lost friend. You're going to have to seek the Lord. You're going to have to draw nigh to God. You're going to have to seek Him in order to be saved. But I want you to know something. God is seeking a relationship with you. God is seeking to know you. Because that God desired to save and does desire to save. He did everything necessary to be done in order for you to be saved. You know, the plan of salvation is finished. It's finished. The Bible tells us concerning the Lord Jesus, teaches us that the plan of salvation was made in eternity before God had ever created the world. That the Lord Jesus Christ was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. It was determined in eternity. The Bible says that He stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Listen, the plan was made before the man was made. The plan of salvation was made before man had ever sinned and fell short of the glory of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, He came to fulfill that plan. He came here to carry out that had been determined from eternity. The Bible tells us in the Galatian letter, in the fourth chapter of Galatians, that God, in the fullness of the time, sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Bible teaches us that the only begotten Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to this world. He was God in the flesh. He took up on Him the form of a servant. Though He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, He made Himself of no reputation and took up on Him the form of a servant and was found in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came here and He suffered more than you and I could possibly imagine anyone suffering. And you know why He did that, lost friend? Because God wants to save all of you. That's why He did that. That's why God gave up His Son. That's why the Bible says He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us. That's why God did that. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here, during His personal ministry, the Lord Jesus Christ, He organized the church and He left her in the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He left His church in the world to go far and wide and to preach the gospel to everybody. You know why He did that? Because He wants to save everybody. He wants everybody to hear the message of Jesus, to hear the gospel, to hear what they have to do in order to be saved, because God will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. I'm telling you what, when people die and they leave the world lost and in their sins, they do so against the will of God. I've had to stand before. I just as soon never have to do it. But I've had to stand before and conduct funeral services where the body laying in that coffin, that person never left behind any testimony, never gave anybody any reason of hope. What a sad, sad situation. But I'll tell you what, there's never been one. There's never been one of Adam's race that has left this world where somebody can stand and say, well, you know, there was no salvation for that person. God wanted them to go to hell. That's not true for anybody. God is not willing that any should perish. Not one person leave the world lost and separated from God. I'm going to tell you something, lost friend. I sure hope that you won't. But if you do, it's not going to be God's fault. You'll never be able to stand before God in the day of His righteous judgment and say, well, God, you know, you wouldn't save me. God will save everybody from every culture, from every walk of life, of every race that will come to Him and repent of their sins and trust in Him for salvation because He wants to save. Boy, I'd like to see somebody saved today, wouldn't you? I'd like to see all these here that are lost today. I'd like to see every one of them get saved. I'd like to see them call on the name of the Lord and get salvation and be able to, you know, I'd love to hear their happy voices today proclaim to us that they've been saved. That would just light up this church. I know that the Bible tells me that there'd be rejoicing in the presence of the angels if a sinner repents today and comes to the Lord and is saved. But I'll tell you what, there's nobody that gets happier than God when a person gets saved. I've seen mothers and fathers and grandmothers and grandfathers just, you know, completely lose their composure when their child or their grandchild would get saved. But I'll tell you what, they weren't as happy about it as God. He did everything that had to be done in order for us to be saved. And He wants to save your soul. I'll tell you what, when I had that awful conviction of sin up on my heart, when I was condemned before a holy God, when He had showed to me exactly what I was, that pain that I had within, that pain that I had, that condemnation that I had of being lost and separated from God, when it drove me to the point that I just got down on my knees before the Lord weeping and begging Him save me, I'm so glad that in that moment that God wanted to save me because He had every right with every one of us. God had every right to just look at us and say, nope, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You don't deserve to be saved. There's nothing you can do to merit salvation. You're a sinner. You've transgressed my law. You've offended me. You've sinned against me. You just depart from me into everlasting hell for eternity. And God would have been just. He would have been just in doing that very thing. But He wanted to save us. If it wouldn't have been for His desire, none of us would be saved. Lost friend, listen, you've got a great blessing and a great advantage today, and that is that God wants to save you. He wants to save you. He doesn't want you to die lost and in your sins. He wants to save you. he would have all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's sing and let's follow the Lord. Brother Ronnie, let's have a song. And if you're here today and you're lost, know this. God wants to save you today. He wants to save your soul. He wants to give you eternal life. He wants to speak peace to your soul today. Come to Him believing that. Come to Him trusting in that. That He wants to save you. He wants a relationship with you. The Lord Jesus Christ said, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus said, I'm not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Why? Because He wants to save. He wants to save. God help you, lost friend. Come to Him for the salvation of your soul.